Luke.
Well, the gospel comes first, but you got to get it over with so we can eat, didn't you? Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19. Fairly familiar place. Yeah, that's not okay. My notes here said Luke 9, chapter 19, verse 55, and that ain't even right because it only goes up to 48.
That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I think, wait a minute. My computer must have did that. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable. And I wasn't supposed to read that part. So we're going to stop actually right there. This day salvation has come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. This is the account of Zacchaeus, which should be very familiar to most people. And actually, this is not a parable. This is not a story. This is the account of something that actually happened.
Yes.
As the Lord Jesus Christ went through Jericho, as recorded here by the Apostle Luke. Now, this is used as one of the Bible stories a lot of time in the little children's Bible storybooks. That's why a lot of people are familiar with it. Those used to be in every doctor's office in this country, in this area anyway. You'd have these little Bible storybooks, and you'd have Bibles in there. And I still remember picking up one in a doctor's office in Rich Creek, Virginia, that some kid had taken crayons to. Actually, probably more than one kid had taken crayons to it. And they had drawn, you know, pictures of lambs, where there were pictures of lambs and all this stuff. And somebody wrote in the book, it was just horrible that people would write in this book. You have to stop and think about that for a minute. I'm going to write in this book that it's bad for people to write in this book. But some people don't get irony, even when they're doing it. Anyhow, they use this as a Bible story, and they use it as a cute Bible story. Because, see, they think kids can relate to the fact that Zacchaeus was short. Because kids are short. Well, that's not exactly the point here. And they kind of miss the point. Zacchaeus was short of stature. It says he was. But he was also rich. He was rich because he was chief of the publicans. Now, what the Bible stories don't tell you, in a negative tone, actually, I suppose, he was rich because he was a tax collector. And not only that, he was a tax collector for the Romans, who had invaded and conquered Israel. So in essence, Zacchaeus is what was known as a collaborator. And usually the people of the country that you're in don't like collaborators. And they especially don't like collaborators who take money from them.
Yeah.
And give it to the enemy who conquered them. That's where Zacchaeus got his money. That's why Zacchaeus was rich. He was living off the people of Israel by taxing them. And what they would do in those days is, I don't know, I mean, I've heard talk that say that the Romans didn't pay them. Now, I don't know whether the Romans didn't pay them. I would think they at least paid them something for doing this job. But maybe they bidded for it. I don't know. Because whatever they would take in, they would pay Rome what they were supposed to, supposedly, and they kept the rest.
Right.
And if you were really good at it, and if you were really greedy at it, you collected a lot more money than what you were supposed to, and you kept it, and you became
rich.
Right. Anyhow, they leave all that out of the Bible stories. I don't know why. Zacchaeus worked for those that had conquered Israel. So the people of Jericho considered Zacchaeus a sinner. Well, he was. The only problem was they were too, but they didn't consider themselves sinners. Zacchaeus was rich. The religious considered all publicans to be really bad sinners because they sinned for Rome. And they basically stole for a living. Now, this all changed for Zacchaeus one day. Now, much is made of the fact that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And in certain places, it is used forth as a, is put forth as an evident fact that Zacchaeus was seeking God. Well, we don't really actually have that here. He just wanted to see Jesus.
Right.
Who he was.
Right.
That's all we've got.
Right.
As far as the description goes.
Right.
That's all we've got.
Right.
Anything else is interpretation. Or imagination in some cases.
Right.
Sometimes it's the same thing. There is no intimation that Zacchaeus was truly seeking Christ in this account. Because it's possible it may have just been idle curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
They heard of this fellow. His fame had gone around. He had been around for a while, Christ had. On this earth, healing people, feeding people, walked on the water maybe. Things get around, even without television. Now, it is possible that perhaps Zacchaeus had been given life before this, before Christ came to Jericho by the Holy Spirit, but nothing is said. And like I said, anything else is pure speculation. So on that wise, I do have a bit of pure speculation for you. The only thing I'll mention about this is the fact that I personally think that most rich people don't climb trees, even when they want to see something. Most rich people hire somebody to climb trees for them if they're going to have a tree climbed. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. So that always struck me as a little strange about this account. But he was short, and he wanted to see. So Zacchaeus, the only thing I can tell you for sure, Zacchaeus was exactly where the God of the Bible wanted him at that moment. That I know from the truth of Scripture.
Right.
Zacchaeus was exactly where he was supposed to be. Christ was exactly where he wanted to be, which is where he was supposed to be. Because wherever God's supposed to be, Christ's supposed to be, he's there. The important part is not that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus in this story. The important part is that the Christ of God saw Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
And it is because the Christ of God saw Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus was found by Jesus. And that Jesus, that Zacchaeus found out who Jesus was. Zacchaeus did find out. Christ was coming through Jericho to see Zacchaeus. He was. And it didn't matter if Zacchaeus was looking or not.
No.
Because Christ was looking for him.
Yeah.
Amen. And Jesus Christ knew exactly where he was. And Jesus Christ knew exactly who he was. And Christ knew exactly what Christ would do. And Jesus Christ also knew exactly what Zacchaeus would do. But he starts off with this encounter by saying the name Zacchaeus. Jesus Christ saw him and called out his name, Zacchaeus. Christ's call is always by name. At that moment, Christ was speaking to and calling Zacchaeus. The words were spoken here in public, but these words were for Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus alone. These words may mean something to you and me, and they meant something else to some of those that are listening, because we'll get to that after a bit. But these words meant something different to Zacchaeus, because that is who Jesus Christ was talking to. And you remember the old commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen? Well, that was pretty much who he, and I don't know where E.F. Hutton is now, because his commercials aren't on TV. But when Jesus Christ talks, whoever he is talking to listens. And more importantly, whoever he is talking to will hear his name. Because Christ's call is individual. Christ was not going to abide in the city. Christ said, today I'm going to abide in your house.
Yeah.
He was passing through Jericho. He wasn't going to abide in the city. But he says, I'm going to abide at your house, Zacchaeus. This call was necessary in the fact that Zacchaeus would never have come down from that tree except for the fact that Jesus Christ called him out of that tree. And you can use that as a picture of whatever you want. You'll be stuck up whatever tree you're in until Christ calls you out of it. A better description, I suppose, would be you'll be stuck in the pit you are. The pit from which you are digged. You had to come out of it. But you didn't ever come out of it until Christ calls.
Yeah.
Because Christ's call is effectual,
yeah,
also.
It
had the exact desired effect that Jesus Christ wanted. Christ called Zacchaeus by name, and Zacchaeus answered. He told him, make haste and come down. And Zacchaeus made haste and he came down. Is it that simple? Well, from our point of view, yes, it is. There's a little more power involved that we don't know about or we don't see. Because this call is not a request. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, if you don't mind and you're not too busy, please come down when you have time and come on over here and talk to me. No, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And Zacchaeus made haste and he came down. It's amazing how that works. When God talks, people listen. And people will obey. When Christ speaks, it's powerful. I like the way Isaiah stated it in Isaiah 63, verse 1. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Because it takes power to save. It takes the power of God Almighty to save anyone. And it takes the word of Christ. The word of power. Yes. He who has power over all flesh. And when he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, Zacchaeus made haste and came down. And the other thing about this call is it was perfect. It went exactly to the person he was talking to. Zacchaeus. Make haste, come down. For today, I'm going to abide at your house. The second part, of course, is Zacchaeus obeyed. It's in there. Zacchaeus made haste, and Zacchaeus came down. And he came down. The words of Jesus Christ as he is speaking here work the same way as when he speaks to any one of his children. When Jesus Christ calls his people by name, they fall. When the good shepherd calls his sheep by name, they follow. Now, we may not be very good at following sometimes. We may not be very good most of the time. But when he speaks and calls you by name, you will follow. I guarantee it. Because it's in this book. The next thing that Christ said to him, after he said, make haste and come down, he said, for today, I must abide at thy house. You know, this is another time he's not asking for permission either. If it's not too much trouble, could you put me up for a little bit, give me some lunch or something like that? No. Today, I must. Walter, Jesus Christ was not gently rapping on the heart of Zacchaeus saying, please let me in. He said, no, I must be in your house today. Right. Yeah. I must be in your house. And guess where he ended up? In his house. Yeah. Why? Because he must. The Lord of glory doesn't ask anybody for permission. The king goes anywhere he wants to in his kingdom. And I believe it's stated in the Bible that his kingdom has no end. And you can take that both ways. It has no end in time, and it's got no end in geography either. A lot of people don't talk about that part. They say, well, it'll never end. It'll be forever. Yeah. And it's everywhere. There's nowhere Jesus Christ can go that he's not king. Because he's king. He created this universe. He's king here. He's king in Europe. He's king in Africa. He's king on the moon. He's king on Saturn. He's king in the next galaxy. It doesn't matter. And the king goes wherever he wants to in his kingdom. And I must abide at thy house. So he's going to abide at that house. Jesus Christ is king over all. That's all flesh, all time, and all places. He has the right, the authority, and the power to abide wherever he chooses, and he does. This is a fact. To Zacchaeus, it was a command. Today, I must abide at thy house. And this command was accomplished. Christ abode at the house of Zacchaeus that day. It's kind of amazing. Everything happened just the way Jesus Christ said it would. It always does. And it always will. Because this was a must. I must abide at thy house. I looked at this for a little bit, and it's the same word used. And I've got three or four different references here. It was the same word used when he said, I must needs go to Samaria. Because there was a Samaritan woman at the well he had to meet.
Yeah.
And he met her. Luke 2:49, and he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I must. Luke 4:33, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. Am I sent? Luke 22 and verse 7, same word. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Christ must abide at the house of Zacchaeus. This must about Zacchaeus is just as important as any other must used by Jesus Christ in the Scriptures.
Sure.
Because anything that Jesus Christ must do is important. We may not get it. The little Bible stories book may not get it. But it's important. The Passover must be killed. He must needs go to Samaria. I must be about my Father's business. Today I must abide at thy house. Now that meant that Christ was going to abide at the house of Zacchaeus that day. That's pretty good company to be in. But he must needs go to Samaria. The Passover lamb must be killed. And I must abide at that house. At thy house. And when Christ calls you by name, he will abide at your house.
Yeah.
Today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Today. So Zacchaeus made haste. He came down. And Jesus Christ abided at his house. Today. All these things the Lord commanded. He didn't ask. Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus received him. Zacchaeus received the Christ of God joyfully. It's a happy day for somebody to hear Christ speak their name.
Yeah.
When the good shepherd calls his sheep by name, it may not be a good day for me, but it's a great day for that sheep.
Amen.
And he'll follow. He made haste, he came down, and he received the Son of God joyfully because he was full of joy. He was happy that Christ called him by name. I don't know how he felt about Jesus before he went up that tree, Walter. It doesn't say. He was curious. He wanted to see him, who he was. Well, he found out who he was, and then he was joyful. So evidently, he didn't know him. If you wanted to see who he was, he didn't know him. Thank you, Walter. He didn't know him. Because he wanted to see Jesus who he was. It states that. He found out who he was. And he was happy. He was full of joy. He was rejoicing. That is the behavior of a sheep. When the good shepherd calls his name. Now, I like this piece of scripture. I really do. It's easy for me to be negative. Okay? Not about Christ, but about this world we're in. I got nothing to say negative about Christ at all. If you're looking for that, you can go somewhere else. But it's easy for me to be against things. Mainly because the world makes it very easy for me to be against things. Because there's so much to be against. I give you one example that I was thinking about the other day. I put this down. It's also in Luke. This is from chapter 7, verse 33. It says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. A friend of publicans and sinners, like Zacchaeus." Luke 7:35 says, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Okay, that ain't them. You can't make religious people happy with the truth of Christ. John did come not eating and drinking, and he didn't have a devil. The Son of Man did come eating and drinking, and he wasn't a bad person. He was not a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. But you can go around today, into some places that I know, and if you get up there and you say, "Jesus Christ drank wine," they will almost consider that blasphemy. He drank Kool-Aid. I mean grape juice. Welch's.
Concord or what?
Both. Who knows? Red or white grape juice? Which do you prefer with fish? I don't know. Now, I'm not advocating wine drinking, okay? But if Jesus Christ did it, it's not a sin.
Right. That's exactly right.
The sin's not in drinking the wine.
Right.
The sin's in you.
Right.
The sin's in me. Right. The sin's in getting drunk because of what's in you.
Yeah.
Drinking wine is not a sin, no matter who considers it blasphemy or heresy or whatever. So it's easy for me to be negative about this world, especially this religious world. And I'm good at poking fun at them some days, you know? Because you can't make religious people happy with the truth of Christ. The truth of God makes them mad or scares a dickens out of them. Or makes them angry.
Yeah.
Or makes them violent. Or both. Because it scares them, they get angry and they get violent. Zacchaeus met Christ and joyfully received him, rejoicing. And there was a result. "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." We don't have any record where Christ asked him to do that.
No.
But he was so happy that he realized he was a thief.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened.
And thou shalt steal no more. He that's a thief, don't let him steal no more.
Yep.
You can't take away the fact that you stole it.
Right.
But that's all right. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Mm-hmm. Of whom I am chief. I know what Paul meant when he said that. I don't know that Paul was the worst sinner in the world, but he felt like it. I don't really think I'm the worst sinner in the world, but some days I feel like I am. Sometimes I wish I could be like you people and be nice. Because y'all are always nice to me. Some days I'm not nice. Don't tell anybody. They'll never find out. But it's true. But when Christ calls you by name and comes to abide, you will receive him joyfully, just like Zacchaeus did. And things will change. Now, you may not have to give half your money to the poor, but if you want to, go right ahead. And don't take anything by false accusation. That's a good idea. There are not that many instances in the scripture, Walter, I tried to think of them, where we have recorded Christ calling somebody by name.
Right.
He called Peter by name, Mary, Martha, and some other. He called Thomas's name. That wasn't actually, well, it was a good day for Thomas, but it was because Thomas was doubting him before. Come here, stick your fingers in here. Thomas said, my Lord, my God.
Yeah.
Called him by name. But two of my favorites are Lazarus and Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Lazarus gets raised from the dead.
Yeah.
That's a good day for anybody. Zacchaeus has Christ abide at his house today. That's a good day for anybody. Both were called by name by the King of everlasting glory. And both were full of joy. I believe both received him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Just like every man that comes to God by Jesus Christ. He calls them by name and he abides. And once he starts abiding, he never leaves. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what I need. That's what I want. And by his grace in him, that's who I have. Come down, make haste. Make haste to come down. And Zacchaeus did. He was called by the Christ of God. And he answered. And all of his people will answer when he calls them by name. And they will follow him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. And your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself a ransom for many. And through his suffering and dying and resurrection, his people are healed. His people are saved. Thank you, Lord, for this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.